For God's timing is not our timing. As David learnt as he and his men were holed up in Jerusalem, in Judah, nothing to do but to hide from Saul and his army, pursuing them. They were kicking their heels, hiding for days, months, years. David expresses raw emotion here, frustration, even rage. As Bill Withers wrote, "Wonder this time where he's gone away. Wonder if he's gone to stay." David to God, "Will you forget me forever?" Protesting to God, provoking God. "Prove that you still love me," he says. "Prove that your covenant love remains." And then the second protest, "How long will you hide your face from me?" For David recalls God's promise, recorded in the book of Numbers. "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto Aaron and unto his sons, saying, On this wise ye shall bless the children of Israel, saying to them, The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace." Yet David does not know God's presence. His face appears to be turned away. For David relies on God's promise never to forget his people. And he now feels forgotten himself in that dark place where there ain't no sunshine anymore. Where God's promise for his face to shine upon him is lost. David feels discarded, not knowing what he's done to apparently lose God's blessing. It's what Sir Winston Churchill called his black dog, that dark mood. Aggravated a bit by Martin Lloyd-Jones's comment, "A Christian can't be depressed." For although we follow Christ, we are still very human and get overwhelmed by events. As my family and I were when our granddaughter Louise died at 4.5 months, leading to days of darkness and anger with God. Is it ever right to be angry with God? Is this some form of heresy? For we all go through times of difficulty and pain, affliction when God seems far from us. We may even doubt his very existence. But it's at times like this we need to be honest with God. For God doesn't require us to have blind obedience. He doesn't want us to silently endure our suffering. God wants to be alongside us in our struggles and will be alongside us to support us as we find our way back to him. The third process of David, "How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and every day have sorrow in my heart?" The Hebrew here expresses David's adding one thought to another and piling sorrow upon sorrow. David tries to rationalize the absence of God in his life, tries to make plans day by day, only to find that these human plans lead to frustration. We're often in a hurry, and God isn't. His timetable is different from ours. Recall Abraham and the promise of a son in his old age, and how when God appeared to renege on this promise, Abraham went to plan B, which ultimately led to Islam, before God honors his promise with Isaac. For God works in his own time. Remember Joseph in that multicolored dream coat. He'd been sold into slavery by his brothers, falsely accused and imprisoned. He told the king's cupbearer the interpretation of his dreams and asked to be remembered when the cupbearer was reinstated. But it was a full 2 years before he was called into Pharaoh's presence. God works in his own time. Remember the Apostle Paul, eagerly desired to go to Rome. Instead, Paul was falsely imprisoned by Felix in Caesarea. Felix held him there for 2 years, possibly hoping for a bribe. And it's only when Felix was replaced that Paul was led to Rome as a prisoner. Remember, God works in his own time. How long is a frequent plea of God's people? When this happens to you, don't see it as a sign of rejection, just a well-trodden path that many of God's people have to learn to walk. We live in a society of instant everything. Don't be deceived. There's no such product as instant godliness. And when in these dark days we struggle with our thoughts, when we come to the end of our own resources, when we find that self-help books, we might rely on, or really have no help. Remember, God in his own time is bringing us towards holiness and maturity. For God has plans to prosper us for his good purposes. How long will my enemy triumph over me? David's fourth plea. David's enemy appears to be winning. David's men and his enemies see that God is distant from David. It's not simply a cry for David's deliverance, for David's enemies are God's enemies. And David's potential defeat will bring dishonor to God's name. God's very character is at stake, for David professes a trust in God alone. And David's continuing walk with God triggers a response. He won't let God's name be dishonored and leads David to make the plea to God. And so to the second part, the plea, verses 3 and 4. David doesn't take the option of playing tit for tat. David doesn't choose to turn his back to God and ignore him. Instead, he commands God to see him in his distress. Look on me, answer, O Lord my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death. For David knows God. As Bill Withers in the third verse of Ain't No Sunshine, I know. 26 times, Bill writes, I know. And David gives his own I know here. He says, God, you're real to me. I trust you. I trust you will abide by your covenant promise. For David changes his focus from himself and his immediate problem to his God and his eternal purposes. David changes the question from the self-centered why to recognize the who of whom he is addressing. For even in this lament, David recognizes that God is in control, that God can restore him, give light to my eyes, and, O Lord my God, that his God is powerful, has a power of life and death. David knows that God wants to be alongside him in his struggles. For our God has already felt our pain. Just reflect. When God seems to have turned his back on us, lift up your eyes and just look at that back and remember. See the stripes of the lash that have brought us into his kingdom. For he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. And by his wounds we are healed. For God hasn't forsaken us, although he may seem distant. He knows our suffering. He has already endured that suffering. God has not forgotten us. He writes, I have graven you upon the palms of my hands. He will be alongside us to support us as we find our way back to him. And David's change of focus from self to God inevitably turns to praise. Praise, verses 5 and 6. Remember, David's circumstances haven't changed. What has changed is his focus from himself and towards God. He has looked at this situation through God's eyes and in God's timescale. And a calm assurance comes to him as he remembers what God has already done for him. I will sing to the Lord, for he has been good to me. And again, David allows himself to trust in God's promises. I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. But look at the start of verse 5. But, a very important but. This is emphatic in Hebrew. It shows David's deliberate choice to rely on God's love. As David interprets his circumstances within the context of God's love, rather than to try to interpret God's love from his present circumstances. That is key, and I will repeat that. As David interprets his circumstances within the context of God's love, rather than try to interpret God's love from his present circumstances. So how can we follow David's examples when we have these dark days? For dark days will come. We are not immune to the pressures of life in this fallen world. Committing ourselves to Christ as our Lord doesn't give us any special protection from illness, loss, or distress. Faith isn't some form of sickness or loss insurance policy. We should expect our lives to be stressed as we follow our Lord. And yet we should be honest with God in our discomfort. We should be prepared to protest, rage, be angry. For our God is big enough to take this process and still be alongside us. And what we can do is prepare ourselves in the good times by thanking God for all he does for us through prayer and through storing up a treasure chest of memories of his goodness to us. And being absorbed in scripture through study, that God's word becomes part of the weft and warp of our very life. That in the good times, we can learn to trust God's covenant promises. So when the dark days come, or weeks, or months, we may feel abandoned or rejected. When there ain't no sunshine in our lives, we can rely on this treasure store to change our focus away from ourselves and our immediate circumstances towards our God and his eternal purposes. We may yield ourselves to these times of refinement and from the depths of our very being, learn to praise God in all he's doing in our lives. Recall, committing our lives to Christ as our Lord does give us a life assurance policy, underwritten by God's covenant love, a policy we can rely on, a whole life policy, an eternal life policy. Christ in us, the hope of glory. I know. Let us live with this certainty, even in the dark times. Amen.